So, okay, so we're up to, we almost finished the Pasuk Gimel Dalet, the yesterday, the Rashi. We did so far the Rashi and the Mitzvahs in the Rashi. We'll read the Pesukim again on page 430. The Pasuk begins, Vayachal Yonah Lavoi, V'ir Mahalach Yemecha, V'yikra, V'yemer, Oid, Arboim Yoyim, V'din Vein Ne'epoches. Okay, so we learned that Yonah, he comes to the city, begins to travel to the city. He spends one day traveling through the city. He calls out and he says that in 40 days, the city will be overturned. Pasuk He says, Vayaminu anshe ninve velokim, vayikru tzayim, they believed in Elokim. We discussed that yesterday. Not, doesn't say about Hashem Elokim. Vayikru tzayim, vayildishu sakim. They called for fasting. They got dressed in sackcloth. From the adults all the way down to the children. So then yesterday the Mitzudois, we learned Rashi. Let's take a look here at the Radak. Radak Pasik Dalid and Hey, page 431. Pasik Dal Vayachal Yonah Kyoir Hoysam Halach Shloisha Yam and Minna Kotze La Kotze. The Hechel Yonah Likanes Beir and Mahalech Yom. As it said in the past Pasik, the city takes 3 days to travel from end to end. He went through one third of the city. And as he traveled through the city, he made an announcement. The word Nepoches is a code word for Sidoim Va'amoira. Okay, Pasuk Hey, Vayaminu, Ki Anshe Ho'aniya Hoyu Be'ir. So this is what we learned many times. The reason why they believed, it's not because they would have believed Yonah on his own. His influence was not sufficient. It's only because he was preceded by the people on the ship. Ki anshe hoaniya, the people of the ship, hayu bo'ir v'hoi'idu, olav ki hitiluhu el hayam, they testified, they threw him into the sea. The whole in Yonah, the entire story, interesting, here you have the sugya of an aguna. If a person is on a ship and the ship sinks, can his wife remarry? Generally, no. Generally, no. Just because the ship sinks, who says he's dead? Maybe he resurfaced somewhere else. And many stories like this. So here you have Yonah. Yonah, they testified that we physically threw him overboard, and yet here he is, the miracle man. How in the world did he survive this ordeal? Vayikru utzam, they call for fasting. This is a very important point, and this we're going to get to later on. Okay, so we have over here that They call for fasting. They fasted before the king issued a decree. Terem, that's Hashem answers us. Hashem answers us before we call out. That's different. But this is something very, very interesting, is that a person should not wait for there to be a decree. You have to fast, you have to daven. Before the leaders of the generation call for days of fasting and tefillah, a person on his own should have enough seichel to realize that it is an ace tzara, and a person on his own should fast. This is to their merit, a very great merit to the people of Israel. They davened on their own before there was an ace, there was a call for davening. Let's take a look now at the Malbim. The Malbim Pasuk Dalid and Hey. Back, Dalid and Hey on the Malbim is on page 432. There are two Dalits. So we'll do the for Lama Hinton Yonah Milikres at Shaholach Vir Mahalach Yoim Echod. Okay, that's the question he's going to address. Next Dalit. Vayochel Yoina Lava Vir Mahalach Yoim Echod Vayikra Mimesha Hoyo Mistapek Mosa Yaskilas Manhar Boim Yoim Achar Shahoisa Mahalach Shloisha Yamim. V'im hoyet korei teke b'yom rishon yaschilu hayoshen b'kzehu ir lach hashev arboim yoyim me'oysa yoyim. We got a problem over here. Since Hashem told him it's going to happen 40 days, It's going to be Moshe Rabbeinu all over again. The Chet HaEgel. What happened at the Chet HaEgel? Moshe says, I'm going up to the mountain. I'm coming down in 40 days. Moshe does not come down at day 40. Vahim kivoyshesh Moshe loredes min hahar. And what happened? That began the story of the Egel. Yonah is in danger. He's making a prediction. He's a Navi. He's no different than Moshe Rabbeinu. He's making a prediction. And in 40 days, something is going to happen. And problem is, he himself does not know the calculation. If he's going to make the announcement, maybe when Hashem told him that it's going to happen in 40 days, it means 40 days from when he finishes traveling through the city. So really it means 43 days. If it takes him 3 days to go from the city from end to end, so that means 40 days from the time when the last person in this city is informed of what's going to happen. Or maybe it means 40 days from the beginning, from the first moment that he enters into the city. So it's not so, Yonah himself does not know when the 40 days begin. So one more time with those words inside. B'nei shehoya mistapek. Yonah himself was in doubt. Mosai yaschilu zman harboim yoim. Achash hoyis amahalach shloshe yom. The shavu 3 days. V'im hoyu kori kegev v'yom. Rishon yaschilu hayashu b'ksel yel lichashev harboim yoim. V'yosai yoim. Therefore, it's going to be too confusing. When is the calculation going to begin? When will the 40 days begin? Lochain, therefore, so when in doubt, what do you do when you're in doubt? When in doubt, you go to the middle. What happened to your beard? Well, beard, what happened to happened to Meir?
The gardener went over my beard.
Beard, what happened to Meir? Right, the person is nice. First comes to Shemayim, and they say the guy's clean shaven. So they say Yid, where's the beard? So he says they gave someone Musa. They gave someone Musa. How can we have a beard when you come to Shemayim? They're going to say to you, Yid, where was your beard? So he says back to the rabbi. Rabbi, when you come to Shemayim, they're going to say to you, beard, where's the rabbi? Be true to you. Okay, it's an old joke.
Reader's Digest
line. Okay. Oh, good, I like that expression. Reader's Digest, that's a good line. That's a good line. Okay, Vayikra, problem is this generation, no one even knows the Reader's Digest is anymore. Okay, talk to someone under 30 years old. What's the Reader's Digest? Never heard of it. So therefore, because you don't have a doubt, he did not know if it's going to start from day one or day three. So what do you do when you're in doubt? You make a pshara. So Yonah decided that he's going to start making this announcement on day two. See what the Malm over here is doing? We asked this question yesterday. Why did Yonah begin to make the announcement after day one? So yesterday we said because he waited until he at least went to a miut, or maybe once you begin the second half, once you pass 33.3, now you're no longer a miut. He's saying something entirely different. He's saying it's because to Yonah, the message is 40 days. He does not know when the 40 days begins. Does it begin from today, or does it begin from when I finish my mission? Therefore, since the mission will take a total of 3 days, so I'll tell them the number 30, the number 40 from this middle, the middle of my mission, which is day two. He concluded day one. He's now in the middle of day two, and that's where he gives over his message. By the way, what do you learn from this? You learn from this something very interesting, that when a Navi gives over a message, the Navi must himself understand what he is saying. Okay, you can argue that a prophet is given instructions to deliver a message to the people. He himself does not need to understand what he is saying. He is just the messenger. I'll give you a very simple example. Does every Baal Kriya know what they're saying? A Baal Kriya lanes the Sedra. Does he know? Does he even know the translation of the words of what he's saying? What?
If you know
Of course it's easier to lane, obviously, but let's say he does not lane. Is there an obligation, a person who is a Baal Kriya, he should know what he's saying?
A Bar Mitzvah boy.
A Bar Mitzvah boy, same thing. A Bar Mitzvah.
Especially a Bar Mitzvah.
What?
Especially a Bar Mitzvah.
Why especially? Anyone who gets...
You would think an adult would have more of an idea than a Bar Mitzvah.
Not necessarily. Some Bar Mitzvah boys are very sharp and smart, and they know what they're saying, and some people who've been learning for years have no clue what they're saying. So generally, is there such... So guess what? In Shulchan Aruch, it doesn't say anywhere in Shulchan Aruch that the Baal Kriya has to know what he's saying. Isn't it amazing? I mean, obviously...
Because it's hard enough to find one.
Not necessarily. I wouldn't say that. It used to be, now it's a little different because Flatbush is taking a big hit. But I would say go back 5 years ago. 5 years ago, if you wanted a lane in most of the Chashav Shul, you could stand on your head. The competition to lane, really, the competition to lane is so intense. You can't get a leaning job. I mean, depending on which community. Over here in this neighborhood, now it's not like that. Now already Flatbush is not what it used to be, but I mean, they some places they pay. I heard somewhere they're paying someone in this neighborhood $400 a week to lane. I don't believe it. A certain shul in Madison, Yosh, $400. I heard of another shul over here, not so far from here, in the 30s.
Yeah.
Mill Basin, what is it called? Not Mill Basin, it's called...
Marine
Park. What?
Yeah,
Marine Park. Sometimes the shul in Marine Park, they're paying the Baal Kriya $400. Okay?
He has other duties, though. I mean, it's more a little bit like a shamus.
Okay, it's a job, it's a job.
He has other duties, but basically he's getting $400.
This person, I ask, why are they paying him $400? So you tell me he lanes so fast. I think it's hard to my. I don't want to go. I think it's hard because he lanes so fast. He lanes faster than you can breathe, and he says every word. Says that's a milah. That you get out of shul so quickly. What is this? Like a ransom, right? You're stuck never. You're stuck in shul. So you got to get out of shul. So you're willing to pay $400 a week to get a Baal Kriya. That will zip it up so fast. You can. What kind of time is that? I would rather go to a shul where I'm not even joking about this.
Either.
There are people who view laning to be a zuchus. They view it to be an opportunity, a zuchus, to prepare to learn the parasha. Ad kedei kach that there's an auction who to bid who. Gets the zuchus to be the Baal Kriya. People will pay $100, $200 to have the zuchus to lane. Versus going to a shul where they're paying someone $400 to lane because he has such a koyach, a chituch hadibur, he can get us, he can relieve us from this torture 5 minutes faster than otherwise. So let me ask you a question. What shul do you want to daven in? The one where they go fast. what kind of life is this? What kind of life are you living when you go to a shul where you have two shuls? One shul, the Baal Kriya, views it as a zuchus. He doesn't get paid. Even though Chazal say it's a good thing to pay a person a little bit, he should feel the achrayis. Okay, so you pay him $15. Feels the achrayis. He's taking a few dollars, an honest person. Take a penny. You know, it's gezel. I have an achrayis, yeah.
Yeah, but in big shuls, if you allow one to read, everybody will line up to read.
That's right, so you don't.
And not everybody is.
That's right, so you don't. So you don't.
So this is why they hire one person and he's a leader.
Right, exactly. That's right, they hire one person. But you know, it depends. You know, a good rabbi can be very diplomatic, very, very skillful to know that only certain people can lane. It's not an auction just for the masses. It's an auction for unique, for special. There are certain shuls where they have like three, four people. Each one is better than the next. Each one. So what kind of life is that? You daven in a shul, where you have two shuls. One, the Baal Kriya views it as a zuchus. It takes him 5 minutes more than the neighboring shul. And in the other shul, they're paying him $400 in order to get out of there. I mean, what is life all about? What is this purpose of life? like the Tayag mitzvahs, are they opportunities or are the Tayag mitzvahs obstacles in an arcade game to get to the finish line? You have to get to the finish line and you have, if you hit one of the obstacles, then you lose points. So you just got to maneuver around the like a skiing. When you go skiing, you got to go and maneuver your way around the flags. Are the Tayag mitzvahs obstacles or are they opportunities? Back over here, we always, so that over here is a very fascinating point. Over here, they have a Baal Kriya. The Baal Kriya, there's nowhere in Shulchan Aruch that says that the Baal Kriya has to know what he says. However, it goes without saying. There are certain things you don't need the Shulchan Aruch to tell you. If ain't a doyme Baal Kriya who knows what he's saying to a Baal Kriya who has no clue what's coming out of his mouth. Now, number one, first, as our mayor said, if you know what you're saying, it's a whole different laning. The inflection, it's much easier to pause, to save pasuk, and the snachta, you understand what you're saying? The trub makes sense. And furthermore, it's just, it comes out. It's a whole different laning.
I find in Israel, when I go to school in Israel, the Baal Kriya, it's a different kind of laning.
Because they know what they're saying. They know what you know. When you know what you're saying, it's like they're speaking to you. They're teaching you. Laning is Talmud Torah Derab. And the inflection of the Baal Kriya, he's teaching you what it says in the Pasuk, the Baal Kriya. And especially if you yourself know the Rashis and you listen to the Baal Kriya, it's like, you know, it's like you go a person who's into Chazonis. You've heard this piece 1,000 times. So why are you going to this chazan? I want to hear how he does it. I know, I'm also a chazan. I also do the chazan. I want to hear how he does this piece. So too, you know what it says in the Pasuk, you know what it says in Rashi, you know what it says in Targum. I want to hear how you say it. The way you say it will bring out chidush in your inflection. Okay, so I mean, there are certain Baal Kriya. I mean, they're really mumchim. They literally know every Rashi Baal Peh. Every Rashi Baal Peh, as they're laning, you can hear them, listen carefully, you can hear them telling you Rashi as they're laning. It's an incredible experience if you're fortunate to have to go to hear people like this. So what I'm pointing out over here is, but is that required? No. Now let's go higher. A Navi, prophet. When a prophet gives over a message, does he have to know what he's saying? So he's like a Baal Kriya. Does he have to comprehend what he is saying? Not necessarily.
So you're saying no, but it helps.
It helps, right. No, exactly.
Yeah, but he might give the wrong message because he's not getting a text.
Exactly. When it comes to new, there are many interpretations. Who says that the interpretation of the Navi is the correct interpretation?
That's my point.
So also, what is Nevuah? Obviously, there are different types of nevuah.
Different levels.
Some nevuah we have to assume is Hashem tells the Navi, listen, don't tamper with a script. Mm-hmm. I'm putting in your mouth some very specific words. Just say the words. Like Bilam, you would assume Bilam. I'm not telling you a concept and giving you an opportunity to express it in your own vocabulary. I'm giving you very specific text. I'm assuming there are other types of prophecy where that's not the case. Where Hashem says to a Navi, I want to give over to you a concept. And I'm giving you permission to express this concept in your own vocabulary. Chazal say, Ein shnei nevim misnabim b'signun echad. No two prophets relate over or give over the message in the same expression, in the same form. Everyone is able to inject their own personality, their own unique flavor into the prophecy. So my point over here is, Yon over here has been given a message, and the message is, in 40 days, Nineveh is going to be Nepeches. Who says Yonah is an obligated, entitled, or even permitted to make a calculation, 40 days, okay. So let me make sure I begin the prophecy at a time where exactly 40 days after I finish the prophecy, Nineveh will be Nepeches.
The Jews made that mistake by
Moshe, exactly. That's what we started. That's what we started, was what we came with. Who says Yonah is entitled to make such a calculation?
Delaying, withholding?
Right. Hashem told you these are the words. You don't understand it. You don't know what the words mean. You don't know how to make the calculation 40. So join the club. Not everyone knows how to count to 40. Klal Yisrael, like you just said, Moshe Rabbeinu, they also don't know. It's not your business. That's not your it's not your problem. Your role is, I gave you a message, Ninve Nepeches Be'od Arbo'im Yomim. Go out there and say it as soon as possible. And that's it. Yonah here is doing, according to the Malbim, is doing something that is very, very shocking. He says, you told me to say 40 days. I ain't doing nothing yet until I understand myself what's going on. And when I know what's going on, then I'll go, I'll deliver the message. And here, Yonah says, I can't reach a conclusion. Does it mean 40 days from the end of the 3 days? 40 days immediately. So because I don't know, I'm going to make a compromise. I'm going to begin the message on day two. A lot of chidushim here happening over here. A lot of what's going on over here.
He didn't understand it himself.
Okay, Moshe was Moisif Yoim in a Hanami. So is Yonah on that level where he has the ability to delay the Nepeches? Does he even know what the word Nepeches means? What? No, we don't. I don't think so. I mean, not explicitly. Maybe we'll read through the lines.
Take chances.
If we go according to the opinion that it was 3 days across the diameter, then he starts in the center. Maybe it's thinking, starts in the middle.
Right. The second day, the 1 day is complete. Now we begin day two. The beginning of day two is where.
In the middle of day two.
Well, he says 40 days. So 40 days, I guess 40 days means the beginning of. All right, we don't know what it means. I also want to point out over here the Malbim is revealing many, many chidushim in these principles. And it's very and it's nogeya halacha lemaisa, a Baal Kriya. Test the Baal Kriya. Oh, you lane today. You know, one thing I don't understand when you said this pasuk. What does it mean? What's the translation? I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? You got up there in front of the tzibur. You told us this pasuk. Don't you think you should know what the pasuk means?
Yes.
You should know what Rashi says in the pasuk. Okay, it's not so. In a chanami. That's why, but forget about the Meturgim. What about the Baal Kriya himself? Does the Baal Kriya know what he's saying? Does the you're suggesting that the Meturgim is just for the Baal Kriya? The Meturgim is telling the Baal Kriya what he just said. You don't know what it says. Let me tell you what you just said. Everyone else in the shul is sleeping. Is that what the Meturgim is for? All right. So this is something which is.
That's why Rabbi Alfred says that it's safe when Yaakov said, "Hey, a sweet Yagidulah that makes us shey kuras tam Yaakov sayomim." He realized the mistake he made by the chalom, by the ladder. In Esulam Arza, he realized he interpreted that dream incorrectly, and now he wanted to straighten it out.
He made a wrong interpretation, something similar.
Wrong interpretation, and now he wanted to tell his children where the mistake was.
All right, let's go further. Vayikra Oid Arboim Yom Kei. Again, we're on page 432. We're in Pasuk Dalet. We're about halfway down in Pasuk Dalet. In the Dibra Maskel, Vayikra, in the bold letters, Vayikra Oid Arboim Chutz Miyom Zen, 40 days. Besides this day, Shum Arboim Im Yom Acharoin. Uvezet Iskayem Nivuasai. And the Nivua, that means after 40 days. Ad Veloy ad bichlal. Okay, after 40 days. Uvezet iskayem nevuasa b'chol oif, and then, without question, the nevu will be complete. V'harav, Rabbi Yitzchak Abarbanel chasha v'kan chishboinois rabim eichloi niskayem nevuasa yoyna. Abarbanel is disturbed because 40 days, according to our records, whatever they may be, Seder Oilam, wherever they may be, the records, we do not find that Ninveh was destroyed in 40 days from now. Uperish. Shemash Amar Ninveh Nepoches Niskayim B'chol Oifen. It was fulfilled. What does that mean? Oh, but it says in 40 days. I think it's going back to what we learned yesterday in Rashi, the Hagon Rashi. Shehoya Hakavana O Shetisapech B'maaseha Usichuna Samir Ol L'Toivah. This directive must be fulfilled one way or another. If you are fortunate, it will be fulfilled in the form of teshuva. The people will overturn their evil ways. They will become tzaddikim. This is what we concluded with yesterday in the words of Rashi, the Haggah of Rashi. And if you do not do teshuva, then physically this city will be overturned, it will be destroyed. Next one, that's one idea. And here he has a very interesting idea, the word yom, yom lashana. Okay, sometimes, very rarely, is the word yom a substitute or a code word for a year. The cheshbon od, the word od is bigamatria, 80. The cheshbon od, shem misparoi shmoinim, ayin is 70, vav and dalid is 10, 80. 80 plus 40 is 120. Od arboim yom. Yom means yom lashana. Od is 80. Arboim is 40. In 120 years from today, Nineveh will be overturned by who? Nebuchadnezzar. Ritzon Eloimar, Oid Arboim, Hainu Kuf, Chof, 120 Shana, She Kuf, Chof, Shana, Acharezeh, Nechreva, Alidei Nebuchadnezzar. Okay, it was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. Okay, this is very good reference because this took place right smack in the middle of the Golos of the Aseres HaShvatim. The Golos of the Aseres HaShvatim was approximately 120 years before the Churban Bayis Rishon. Ukvar kosavti sheyesh stira b'chishbonosav. Eile, when we started this sefer, we learned a very long malbum. We learned this also in the Radak, that there are contradictions in the calculation of the years. The MS ain't such luchol zeki hayyudim ha'elokiim heim tenoim, that the designations of Hashem are tenoim, are conditional. Im lo yeshuvu midarkam haronin ve'nepach bechas k'moy shakasav rega adaber al goy. Beginning of Yirmiyah, Hashem says that Hashem at times says there's a moment when in my mind I am planning to destroy a nation. Linsoish the linsoits to smash and destroy, but v'shav hagoy, if the nation does teshuva, then ahu I change my mind. So he's saying over here is even though over here it says that Nineveh will be destroyed in 120 years, and make a calculation, maybe it's not so. Maybe indeed it was not so. Maybe Nineveh, if you look at the calculations according to some, it was not destroyed in 120 years. So how you can ask? So then we have over here a difficulty. It's not a question because when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says numbers, the numbers are not etched in stone. Hashem, it's conditional that other things are correct, other factors are true. And if some of the facts on the ground change, then things can change. This is a very frightening concept because when it comes to our calculations, the same thing can be true as well. Okay? What happened with Shevet Ephraim? Shevet Ephraim, they went out of Egypt 30 years prematurely. They made a calculation, they're going to be 400 years after the Bris Bein HaBesarim, it's time to go. And really it was 430 years after the Bris Bein HaBesarim, it was 400 years from Leidas Yitzchak. So the Shevet Ephraim left Egypt 30 years prematurely, and what happened to them? They were slaughtered. They were slaughtered in Eretz Pelishtim. Chazal say, "V'lo nocham elokim derech Eretz Pelishtim." Hashem did not want to take them there, ki karoyv hu, because it was too near. There's many interpretations of what this means, but amongst the long list of ideas, ki karoyv hu, because it was too recent. It was only 30 years since the tragedy happened on the derech of Eretz Pelishtim. If they would go that way, they would see their brothers, the Bnei Shevet Ephraim, their bones scattered in the field, and they would be demoralized. So the Hashem says, better not take them through that path, not to come near, not to be demoralized by seeing what happened to the Bnei Ephraim. So you see, this was a very big, we made a calculation. 70 years since the end of the Churban Bayis Rishon is going to be the Geula. So what's 70 years? Everyone made a mistake. Baal Shetzar made a party. That was the end of him. Achashverosh made a party. That was the end of him. A lot of people made, other people, I don't remember all the Maamar Chazal, a lot of people made parties. People are always making calculations and they're wrong. They're dead wrong. Okay, unfortunately, how many Gedolei Yisrael over time have told us that it's the Zman of Mashiach, according to our calculations, the Zman of Mashiach. Now, they didn't say it to be an absolute. The reason why they want to make the calculations, it's not an absolute. It means it's a Zman Mesugal. It's a time that's auspicious for the coming of Mashiach. So this is a very, very big Nisayon. By Reisman, he gave a very powerful shiur, made a very big impression on me many years ago. He says that we have another number. We're not going to be Mashiach Halavai, Mashiach should come today. Hayoim, achakaloi b'chol yoim sheyavai. But Chazal gave us a number, 6,000 years. So, chas v'shalom, chas v'shalom, chas v'shalom, it comes the year 6,000. It's not past our lifespan. And the Mashiach is not chas v'shalom, it can be a very big nisayon. It can be a very big nisayon. Who says you know how to make the calculation of 6,000 years? We don't know. We've already made this mistake.
We don't know
how to make this calculation. There have been so many other calculations that have been made and we've been mistaken. We don't know how to count. Simple as that. You have to always remember the rule. There are three types of people in this world. Those who know how to count and those who don't. Right? All right, so this is what it says over here. Rega Dabr, so therefore you think over here is that over here we have a calculation of 120 years, Nineveh is going to be destroyed. And Abarbanel says, was it really destroyed? Look at the history books. It may not work out. Maybe yeah, maybe not. Don't get excited. You don't know Hashem's calculations, Hashem things, the facts change over time. And this, that, our question, what was our original question, the Dibur HaMaschil, when we started passing, beginning Dalit, the Maschil says, why did you wait? A different question. Why didn't Yonah tell the people to do teshuvah? Look at the message. Look at the pasuk. Look over here. It says, top of the page, the pasuk. Vayikra vayomar. Rabbi Isai, I got bad news for you people. Oid arba'im yom v'ninvei nepoches. Why didn't he tell the people to do teshuvah? So he's giving us, he's saying over here an awesome chiddush that we are really need a source for. Yonah was not the first. Yonah was not the first prophet to enter Nineveh and to tell them to do teshuvah. Hashem, he's saying over here, Hashem does not send a prophet to tell you bad news. Okay, you have to collect all the rules of prophecy. Collect the Gans Tanakh. And the problem is everyone disagrees. Each Rishon has a different set of rules than the other. So it's all against the backdrop of doing teshuvah. There's no such thing as a Navi coming purely to inform you doomsday is here. There's no purpose in doing that. The purpose of a Navi when he says doomsday is here is because it's not too late. Is you still have a chance to do teshuva. Shanavi lo yishulach rak. Okay, this is a very big yisoid of the Malbim. the Navi is not sent only rak lehoshev esam b'shuva ulevatel ha-gezera. The goal of a prophet is to tell the people to change their ways, to annul the gezera. Yonah should have been the one to tell the people to do teshuva originally, but he blew it. Yonah's first nevuah was go to Nineveh, be the prophet to tell them to do teshuva. That's what we learned. Yonah defied Hashem's direct order. So he's telling us there's more to the story. So when Yonah defied Hashem, disobeyed a direct order, guess what? Hashem recruited a replacement. Who was that replacement? We do not know. But there was someone else that was enlisted to take the place of Yonah and to go to Nineveh and deliver the message. Unbelievable. Okay, you would never know that. You never know that. We didn't see that in the movie. But Hashem over here sent another prophet. What he says to the Malam, another prophet. Rakhu lo mile kol hadvarim. Rakhu lo mile kol hadvarim. V'lo hichru ez rak ha-gzer shabar labavur b'dibar sheni. Ne shahoyo ritzoynoi sheyitu v'lo yasu teshuva. He's saying something more. So we know he just said above that they already knew it's going to happen because another prophet told them. Yonah now is coming to do part two. He's coming to tell them that the doomsday is here. And he's saying over here even more, Rak ha'gzeshvalek b'divar shem b'bnei sha'yuritzoyne sheyitu v'lo yasu teshuva. Now he's coming to say an incredible chiddush. Yonah here again is defiant. Again. Hashem is telling him to inspire them to do teshuva, and he's not doing the mission. Instead, he's deliberately misleading them, deliberately sabotaging the mission. He's like a double agent. He's whatever you want to call him. He's mamish over here. Hashem, okay, Hashem, you want to keep me alive? You want me to do the mission? Okay, fine. He goes, and when he goes, he says, "Guys, guess what? It's all over for you. You're finished." You're finished. Dig your own graves. And they won't do teshuva. Unbelievable what's going on. I mean, you look at the Rishonim, Mamash, you go, Mikotze ela kotze, in what is going through the mind of Yonah. The Malam has a very dark version. You can take the same story and you can paint it in a very pleasant light, or you can take the story and paint it in a very dark.
It's got its own agenda.
Yeah, and Hashem tolerates this. Hashem is very tolerant of rebellion. Now, v'im nirtze loymar k'divrei harav Rabbi Yitzchak Abarbanel sheneskayem agzera achar shon. If you want to go and agree with the Abarbanel that indeed in 120 years indeed it did happen, yesh lefar shoyim b'shlichus yonah b'mei menachim min godi. So then if you want to make it work out according to our, I don't know, obviously it's working with a timeline. I'm not at all familiar with what he's saying, but obviously he has in front of him a timeline of history when it happened. The only way you can work out according to the Abarbanel is you have to place the story of Yonah in a different era, in a different time in history. One of the big mysteries about Sefer Yonah is when exactly did it happen? We work with the assumption that it happened during the middle or the beginning of the Golos of the Aseres HaShvatim. Say, put in Benachem Yen God,
that's why he says that it happened between 3187 and 3205, the equivalent of 3338, but 20 years before Hurban, the Nineveh was destroyed. He gives a judgment of 120 years. That's how he comes up with the 100. He goes to the lengths to delineate the 120, how it works out.
So he's putting him down much later. We work with the assumption that Yonah was much earlier. He now wants to put him much later. Menachem ben Gadi.
In his introduction to Yonah, he says it happened during the Aseres HaShvatim's which started in 3187, ended in 3205 when the 10 were. So late in that time period when they were halfway gone, like in the 3190s, and 33, approximately 20 years before Churban, Nebuchadnezzar took over Nineveh.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he gives a rough
estimate. Okay, whatever.
But you have a diagram.
Right, so the diagram, according to this, Menachem, in their diagram, Menachem lived after the death. After the death of Yonah, Yonah was already dead on the diagram, page 915. Yeah. That's exactly what he's trying to say. If you want to make it work according to the Barbanel, whatever his calculation is, then you have to say Yonah, the story of Yonah, took place in the time of Menachem. In the chart, the way they present it, on page 915, Yonah already died by the time Menachem came into power. So that means until now, we're working with the assumption that Yonah was earlier. As you see in the chart, you see the green on the side. Whatever it is, it is. Okay, let's go further. So therefore, now he has another chiddush. Who says that Nepeches means entirely? Nepeches means there was a partial collapse of the country. Okay? In Bishnas Tezav L'chizkiya, Shoye Arboim Shon Achash L'chiz Yoyna, it was four, so saying, it happened in stages. When it says over here 100, it says Arboim Yoim, 40 days. Yoim is a code word for Ashana. Od is 80. So, but it says in the Pasuk 40, not 80, not 120. So he says it happened in stages. First stage was in 40 years. Chizkiyahu. 40 years from the time of Menachem was Chizkiyahu. Sheyotza malach Hashem hafach es machane Ashur. Shenin vehoysa rosh malchusay. Uvnei ha-melech yiko b'cherev v'niskayim ha-yir kitzas. When the time of Chizkiyahu, that coincided with the end of the Golus of the Aseres HaShvatim. That is when the miracle happened, when Sancheriv's army was defeated. That was 40 years from the time of Yonah. Asher was not put to an end at that moment in time. Asher was severely defeated, but they lived to fight another day. But that was a significant moment, and that's what the Pasuk literally means, Arbohim Yom. 40 days from today, Sancheriv, Melech Ashur, will bring his army to Yerushalayim with enormous number of soldiers, the night of Pesach, and they will all miraculously die, and that will be the beginning of the downfall of Ashur. It would take another 80 years until they would be decimated entirely by Nebuchadnezzar in his conquest and conquering the entire world, including destroying Yerushalayim. That's how he wants to learn. And then, okay, so that's how we learn. So if to review, what have we learned over here? We pretty much learned we'll summarize in a moment. Let's first do the second pasuk, pasuk hey. Another new Yisoid. Klal Yisrael, let's go back. When Moshe Rabbeinu was recruited by Hashem, Moshe asked a good question. How are they going to know I'm the real thing? They're not going to believe me. I'm like the guy on the train. Okay? The guys on the subway, they have a lot of things to tell you. Okay, they have a lot of messages to tell you. They're going to think I'm just like one of these guys. How are they going to believe me? So Hashem says, you're going to do for them oisais umoifsin. What were the signs? Dam. You're going to turn water into blood. You're going to put your hand, the mate is going to turn into three signs. The mate is going to turn into a snake. And you're going to put your hand into your jacket. And you're gonna take it out, and it's gonna be filled with saras. You're gonna put it back in. It's gonna turn back into healthy skin. Three signs: blood, the mate, and saras. Three signs. These will be the signs that you will demonstrate in front of Klal Yisrael to prove your authenticity. So, question: Yonah did not provide. Oisais umovsim. Scary, right? So they believed right away. They believed right away without oisais umovsim. I mean, the Anshin Inve, Voyahachidush, Shaminu takef v'loy bikshu ois oy mayfes v'takef hischilu b'tfila al yidei shalavshu sakim l'ta'anis v'hachna. They immediately put on sackcloth to fast, to humble themselves. V'am lo yisoyru l'shuva. The people lo yisoyru l'shuva ki lo ola al daitam shehem choytim ki yoyna lo hodiyam zos kiniskol el. Now, what is he saying over here? He's saying over here more chidushim. It says over here that they did not do teshuvah. It's very interesting.
Right.
There's another chiddush. We always understand that they did teshuvah. So he's saying
there were social policies they did teshuvah on, but what they didn't do teshuvah on, their belief in idols, they kept on. That's what he says.
So we think that we lain Yonah right before Yom Kippur, right before any Yom Kippur, because it's a message to, it's never too late to do teshuvah. There are two different things. There's something called doing teshuvah. When you want to get something, you want to make a deal with Hashem, there are two ways to do it. Either you do teshuvah. Hashem, you make believe, this was really meant to be for me. I was really meant to have, you know, a success. And it's melamed shachet goyrem. It's only because of my sins, I'm losing out. So when I will do teshuvah, I will memela be restored to my success. Who says? Maybe it was never meant to be. You were never meant to be successful, but you want to be successful. So through the koyach of tefillah, you're going to change your mazel. Two different ways to achieve success. You can make an assumption you were meant to be successful. Avera got in the way, or you were never meant to be successful. And through the koyach of tefillah, you're going to change your mazel. Yonah, people of Nineveh, the truth was, number one, they were meant to be successful. It's because they were corrupt, Hashem's going to put an end to them. Yonah didn't tell them that. Yonah said, listen, it's just not meant to be for you. It's not meant to be. The mazel is, your mazel is, your days are numbered. There's a asteroid coming and a crash into Nineveh going to destroy you. That's the way it goes. There's going to be an earthquake. You're done. That's what was meant to be. But through, they say, oh, you're okay, fine, but through the koyach of tefillah, we'll be able to survive. That's not what Hashem wanted. According to the Malm does not let up. The Malm over here is, he insists to paint this story in the darkest way possible. He's misleading them. He's telling them, really? He's telling them that Nineveh is going to be there. I'm not telling you to do teshuvah. You're tzaddikim. I'm just telling you that it was the snapashert. It's not pashert for you people to survive more than 40 years, whatever the story is, because global warming. Global warming means there's going to be some horrific event and you're going to go under. But if we dive in, we can change our mazel. And that's exactly what they did. They were machnir themselves not to do teshuva, to repent from their evil ways, just to change the mazel. That's quite a chiddush. That's not the way the average person understands the story of Yonah. The average person understands the story of Yonah is that Yonah was telling them indirectly, you better shape up and cut out the nonsense. No more chomos.
What gives us the right to change our mazel? If a Kodesh Baruch Hu deems it that a person...
Well, that's a major question.
Hashem is smarter than us.
Yeah.
And for whatever, a poor man, he wants a man to be poor. So,
fatalist.
No, I'm just asking.
You asked me a good question. You asked me a very good question. So one answer to that question is we learn we have precedent. Legal precedent. Lama Nigora. Pesach Sheni is the answer to your question. The people who were exempt from bringing Karim Pesach, they had the best reason to be exempt. They were carrying the Atzmos Yosef. They were on duty. Yosef made them take a shvua. Right? They made them take a shvua. Valisem es atzmosa atzmosai mize itchem. They come to Moshe. Lama nigora. And Moshe says, Moshe asks your question. They said to Moshe, I don't know. It's not bashert for you. Just not meant to be. Someone's got to be on guard to take care of the bones of Yosef. What can I do for you? I'm sorry. So let me ask Hashem. Hashem says they're right. They can change the mazel. Even though it was not meant to be for them, I'm going to give them an opportunity. I'm going to give them an opportunity they otherwise would not have had. So you see, okay, that's one example. Right. Look at Avram Avinu. Avram is Av Hamon Goyim. It was not meant to be that he should have children. And Hashem say, Meitztagninu Shelcha, come out of your astronomy, astrology. I'm going to change you from Avram to Avraham. So you do see already, give you two examples. You do see, and is this limited only to Jews? Is it not limited to Goyim? Not necessarily. Not necessarily. Avraham is Av Hamoin Goyim. And Avram was, there is such a thing that even though you're born with limitations, both physical limitations.
I mean, David's just saying no, and you're saying yes.
You know, it's not a matter. Hashem gives man. We learn from the Torah that Hashem. Not Hashem saying no. When I put you in this world, this was not meant. It was not part of the blueprint of creation that you should have this. That you should have anything more than what I've given you already. But built into the blueprint of creation is every person, if he really has a desire, can change that. Can change his status. Lama nigara.
But maybe you're making a mistake.
No.
The reason why David doesn't want you to have this is for good reason.
That's exactly what we see. That's not a mistake. It's not a mistake. That's exactly what we learn. If you want it, then it's not a mistake. There's no such thing as everything is predetermined. It's a very dangerous thing.
Right.
We can't live like that. There's no such thing.
The phrase I mentioned to you, Hamachadesh Mitubo Bechol Yom Tomid Master Gracious. God forecasts certain things to happen. However, every day he goes over the checklist. And every morning he says, this was meant to be, will it? Maybe not today. Hamachadesh every day goes over the checklist and he says, yes, yes, yes. Oh, no, no, no. This was forecast. I don't need it anymore. That's the pasuk. What it means when you say it. Hamachadesh b'tuvo, b'chol yom tamid, ma'aseh bereishis.
Every day is an opportunity. Yadus teaches us that your life is not predetermined. There's no such thing. You make out of your life whatever you want. Like America, anyone can be the president. And I mean anyone. You can make out of life whatever you want. Okay, that's why America and the Western civilization, this whole of what America offers is very appealing to Klal Yisrael, to Yadus. It really is, because it's very much what America is all about, is a land of opportunity. You can be whatever you want.
Except
the
coin.
What? Kimmy Cohen. If you can be a woman, why can't you be a coin? Okay? It's really scary. That's the extreme that you think about. That's we're living now in a generation where it's mafriz al hamida. This concept, how come in ancient times there was no such a saga of such crazy things like this? First of all, they didn't have the science behind to do it. Number two is you were born into a matzav. If your father was a shoemaker, you will be a shoemaker. Don't you think otherwise. You think otherwise will kill you. Like communism. Okay? So this is the whole world really was built with this.
You're locked in.
America, it's a whole new world, a whole new way of thinking of you can do whatever you want. You can be whatever you want. There's no limitation. This is Yadus believed in this principle from day one. You're not locked into anything. Make out of life whatever you want. Select something which appeals to your neshama and pursue it. Pursue it and become who you want to be. That is what Yad is all about. And that's what America, in the secular world, and only in America, is just a dot in history, just 200 years. And that's why it's so appealing. On these principles, that is true. Okay, in Echanami. This is, and you learn that here. So to review, what have we done over here today? We've learned a very, very different story than we're accustomed to. A very, very dark, a dark view of the story of Yonah. According to the Malbum, first of all, we learn he tells us that when it says 100, it says a yom. Yom means years, and when it says od, it means another 80. Begematria 80, 120 years. Ninveh's nepeches. Nepeches can mean one of two things: it's going to be obliterated, or it's going to be over. You do teshuva. It happened in stages. We have, if we want to say that it's going to be true that it was destroyed, we have to put the story of Yonah at a later period of time to make it work out that 40 years from the story of Yonah was the miracle where the army of Sanherib miraculously died, and 80 years later is when Nineveh was wiped off the map by Nebuchadnezzar. The Malm is telling us that Yonah is defiant. Hashem told him to tell them to do teshuvah. No, I'm not telling them to do teshuvah. I'm just going to tell them that it's too late, too little, too late. So they shouldn't do teshuvah, so they should be destroyed. And Yonah, according to the Malm, was successful. They were never, it's explicit, they were never told that Nineveh is, that they're bad people. They were basically given the impression they're good, good tzaddikim, everything is fine and good. It just happens to be that global warming is catching up with them, and in 120 years, they're going to sink. So what did they do? They said, well, we can pray to Hashem. So they were mispalel to Hashem. Being mispalel to Hashem is not the same thing as doing teshuva. Yonah, basically, according to the way the Malm learns, outsmarted Hashem twice. Well, he first defied Hashem, and now he's explicit.
You mentioned about not giving an osu mofes. What he says also, an osu mofes when the Torah says, "Vo osu mofes b'al mofes, asher diberi lecha sora." A Novi only needs a osu or mofes when he's telling you to do something that keneged HaTorah. When he's telling you to do something that goes against what you learned. If he's just telling you to do tshuva, he doesn't need a sign. He's telling you to keep the Torah. That's all. No os, no mo faces. Only okay. When, like Elio, when they were doing, he gives that example, the shute chutz. So then he has to give osu mo faces.
All right, I think we've done enough on this. These are Rabbeinu Bachya, but you know, I really want to go further. So maybe we'll see tomorrow. Probably tomorrow, go further. We'll stop over here. We're up now at the Pasuk Vav.